Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
As we get ready to start celebrating the Christmas season, just to let you know that a lot of great things go on this time of year, and you're welcome and encouraged to participate in any and all of those that you possibly can. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for being here. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and just make yourself at home. Enjoy. There's coffee, donuts, and I think we might start having cereal every week. Amen?
Woo!
Yeah. And don't get your hopes up. And so if you're joining us online, thanks for being here. I know that it's Thanksgiving week, and it's a little chaotic, and trying to get back into the routine today to get ready for school tomorrow and back to our jobs and all those things. But just while you're here, I encourage you, just for this little time that we're together, to set your hearts and your minds on the Lord, set your hearts and minds on the things that He wants to do in you and through you today, to propel you through the coming week. We're all about Jesus. That's what who we are and what I say all the time. And this week, what I want you to focus on is about Jesus. So I wonder just how many of y'all had family in town for Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. Right? Some of us did. How many of you traveled and you're already home? Raise your hand. Oh wow, a lot of us. So here's what I would say. Think about just those family members and just the love that you have for them. Also maybe the chaos that's a little bit in your lives with them. But in the midst of it all, where did you see Jesus? And if you say to yourself, I didn't, then what I would say back to you is that you weren't looking. As we go into this Christmas season, I don't want it to be all about the tree. I don't want it to be all about the presents. I want it to all be about Jesus. And all that other stuff, it just gets to be an addition. It gets to be the more of the goodness of God. But if all we can focus on is Jesus, I believe the rest of it will come together. Let me pray for us today. Lord, as we gather in your holy name, Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. Even in the midst of maybe some storms in our life, Lord, there's still a great deal to be thankful for. Father, your love for us. Father, your salvation for us. Father, your grace for us. Lord, the loved ones sitting around us right now. Our kids, our spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, friends. Father, even if we're alone at this season in our life, Father, there is still your goodness to be thankful for. And Lord, the future and the promise that you have, the presence that you are with us. So Lord, I pray that you would just reveal yourself today, Lord, and tomorrow, and in the days and weeks and months to come. Lord, let us see this Christmas season. Lord, my hope is that it will be different for each and every one of us. Lord, it may be... Hallelujah. A little bit of heaven breaking in right now. Lord, that as you are in our lives, Lord, as we look to the future, Lord, it would be different for all of us. Lord, let it be so, Father, that your goodness, your mercy, your excitement about the birth of your Son, Lord, the anticipation of all that would culminate with us in this room, and that we would just project it out into the world. Lord, let us celebrate that start of the season today, and Lord, let it grow inside of us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Father, thank you. Thank you. Lord, there's the glory of your name and the majesty of your character and all of the universe and all of the world. Lord, that's what we give you praise and glory and honor for. That's who we sing to today, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, I want that to be known to all of us in the most powerful way, Lord. And so today, as we gather in your holy name, Father, I can just imagine the glory of heaven right now as we, as your people all over the globe, give you glory and honor and praise today. I think about heaven right now as I hear the kids chattering in the background here in our room. Father, what that must be like in heaven. Father, just all the voices, Lord, just giving you glory and honor and praise, the activity of heaven. Lord, let it be so with us here in this room. And Father, where there is perfection there is still great need right here for us. And so, Lord, as we gather, and Lord, as we praise your name, Lord, I pray that we would just submit our lives to you. And Lord, that you would just show us, Lord, how you're meeting our needs. Lord, how you're providing for us in a great way. Lord, how you're going before us, how you hem us in with your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, as you do, as our needs are met, that we would just turn around and give you, Father, all that's due to you, all the thanks, all the glory. And, Lord, that we would just share our lives with you. Father, there's healing that needs to take place here today, each and every week. But, Lord, specifically today, there's recoveries from several people having surgeries and medical procedures this week. Lord, there's relationship issues in the room this morning that need your healing. Father, there are people with flu symptoms. Lord, there's people with colds and headaches and, Lord, all the different things. Lord, we want restoration. Lord, we want to know your perfection in our physical bodies, Lord, to reflect your glory. So, Lord, just make it happen. Lord, make it happen for us. And then, Lord, just for those of us that are struggling, that, Lord, it's that time of year where it seems to just overwhelm us with depression. Lord, with the loss of loved ones. Lord, just all those memories. Father, just lots of hurt. Lord, we need restoration there as well. Lord, mend those broken places. Lord, and show us how to move forward in life. Lord, even if it's just one step, one day at a time. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. It is fourth Sunday of the month, so if kiddos want to come grab these collection buckets, we are going to pick up our kids' mission. So if y'all want to get these and start making your way around the room. This past week, we went shopping with a big group of kids. I think we had five grown-ups, and I don't know, it felt like 3,800 kids, but I think it was more like 13. We went to Walmart during Thanksgiving week, and we shopped for some families off our Grace Tree. We shopped for Cooper North. These funds that the kids pick up go to those things. We do have our Grace Tree up in the back of the room right now. That has some families on it. These are kids who are placed with family members for whatever reason, and CPS is involved in their situation. To make their Christmas a little easier, we sponsor their Christmas presents. So if you would like to sponsor a family off the tree, all the information's back there, or if you need some help, you've never done that before, I'd be happy to talk with you about that after worship today. Each week between now and Christmas, the Grace Tree will have some new missions on it for us to give back all through the Advent season. Kiddos, as y'all make your way around the room, if y'all want to take those buckets and head to Grace Kids, we will go do that. We have one more mission project for this month. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to make some goodie bags for some folks who live in memory care facilities and nursing homes. So y'all head out to Grace Kids.
Don't you love it when other people's kids are really funny?
Exactly, exactly.
One of y'all's children was trying to make change just now, which is cracking me up. And then as Ashley walked off the stage, I just heard her go, okay. She's catching her breath. Hey, whoa, before you walk out, Ashley, didn't you do a great job this morning with all this? This is great, yeah. All right, so what anchors your Thanksgiving? That's kind of where I want to land today, and it's not going to take very long. I know you're just a lot of things going on in your life, and you're trying to be just like Ashley did just now. You're kind of like, okay, here we go. We're getting ready for Monday, getting ready to get the kids back in the routine and all the things, and how many of your houses are a disaster right now? Yeah, a lot of yours. How many of you have already put up Christmas? Yeah, hallelujah, us too. And sure feels really good to get that out of the way. And that's why I wanted to say, that's why we need to anchor ourselves in Thanksgiving, because I don't want any of this season to be a chore, all right? And when I say that, like, it's not enjoyable, it's not meaningful, it's not holy, it's not Christ-centered, where you're just like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. No, we get to celebrate the season. And I know there's several books out there. I think I have one in my office. It's not have to. It's not a got to. It's a get to. And we need to understand we get to celebrate the birth of Christ. We get to celebrate Thanksgiving. But what I want you to know is that we're going to finish up today just talking about those storms still a little bit, where Paul is sailing and gets shipwrecked. But what happens when you're trying to do all of this stuff? Right? You're trying to do all of the Christmas things, all of the Thanksgiving things, and look as normal as you possibly can, where on the inside there's a storm raging, right? Where the family members that didn't show up are causing just all sorts of havoc in your life, or maybe it's at work, or maybe it's at school, maybe it's with your children or your spouse or whatever, right? Just all of that stuff. Maybe some of you are panicking right now because you know all those checks are going to clear tomorrow, or debit cards or whatever, and your overdraft protection is going to kick in, and that $60 turkey is going to cost you another $35 or another $60 or another $70, and you're just, all those things are happening, and you're trying to figure out how to make it all work. Paul was doing the same thing. I mean, literally. He's on this ship, and he's going through the storm, he's going through this chaos, but he was grounded and he was anchored. And Hebrews 6:19 says this, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And what is that anchor? That's Jesus. I mean, that's just it's simple. It's not easy, but it is simple to say that we're anchored in Jesus Christ. There's no, I just said it this morning to someone who was talking about just some things in their life, and nothing that none of us have not ever experienced, right? Common to all of us, and just kind of the guilt. And I said, look, there's no condemnation in Jesus. Jesus is not condemning you for that. There's forgiveness and there's grace. How do you walk through that, and how do you live through that is where I want to go today. And to get the notes today, you already saw the QR code, and so there's that. But the anchors of Thanksgiving, because it can be, we can be thankful when everything's good. It's harder to be a little thankful when things aren't so good, when it's a little harder, or when it just doesn't go our way. And not to be a Debbie Downer, because we have so much to be thankful for, but also there's some hardships, right? This wasn't an easy Thanksgiving for everybody. There were, even in my own family, an in-law, right, didn't get to come to Thanksgiving because of a death on that side of her family, right? And so it's not always just, you know, rose-colored glasses for everybody. Sometimes there's a lot of hard things going on. And so the anchors of Thanksgiving, let's look at Acts 27, 21 through 25 one last time. And so, remember, they're on the ship, there's a great storm, they've been out there for, the storm's been going on for at least 2 weeks, they're out in the middle of the Mediterranean. It says, when many had lost their appetites, Paul then stood among them and said, men, you should have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete, and thereby spared yourself this damage and loss. And yet now, I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God, whom I belong and whom I also serve, came to me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has graciously granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Now, what I want to talk to you just quickly, and boy, these are going to fly, okay, is the first one is, what is Paul recognizing? What is he thankful for? He's not thankful that he's a prisoner right now. He didn't say, oh, Lord, thank you for me being in shackles and chains and being arrested and in prison, and even the angel of the Lord. See, Paul, I just realized this. Paul is saying, you guys should have listened to me. Let me remind you, I told you this was going to happen, right? The angel of God is reminding Paul, hey, you're a prisoner and you're going to see Caesar right now. A little bit of not what you really want to hear as a prisoner. I mean, not very many people went and stood before Caesar that could explain themselves. I mean, if Caesar's calling Paul to go stand before him, that's not good. I mean, that's like way out there not good. And probably, most likely, if you're going to go stand before Caesar, Caesar didn't call you to pardon you. Caesar called you to get your head cut off. Paul is in this place, and God said, hey, take heart, the angel of the Lord, as always, say, don't be scared. Hey, you're going to see Caesar and stand before him in shackles and chains. That's really not a positive influence, amen? That's not something you want to hear. But yet, he did, and Paul says, hey, we're not going to die. Because God has a plan for me, at least, and I know that he does for all of you, too. We just have to figure out what that plan is. And so, going forward, look, he says, this very night, what is the presence he's talking about? An angel of God to whom I belong and who I serve. He knows his identity. My question for all of us, even me, is, do you know your identity today? I mean, really? I know you say you're a Christian. I know that we talk about coming to church and those kinds of things. But who really are you in God, in Jesus Christ? Are you really identifying that way, or are you identifying it as just part of your life? Wouldn't it be great? Boy, it'd be kind of scary. It'd be kind of weird. It would be awkward if the next time somebody said, what do you do for a living? Oh, I serve the Lord. Y'all are like, I will never say that, right? I mean, that's not how you, I mean, that's kind of a Debbie Downer at a dinner party, right? I mean, when everybody's passing the whiskey and the wine and the beer and somebody said, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I serve my Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is going to talk to you the rest of the night, right? I'm just a realist, right? I mean, that's just not something that we all do, but how great would it be if we did? If we said, when somebody comes up to you in their whatever's going on in their life, and they say, hey, can you give me some advice, or this is what's happening to me, or when you say, hey, how's your family? And they go, oh, let me just tell you about my family. And then you say, yeah, but look, here's Jesus, here's God, and here's how this works. That's all Paul is saying. When everybody's down and out and ready to die on the ship, he goes, wait a minute. There's something better happening here. There's something greater happening here. They were seeing the micro part of their life, right? And he is seeing the bigger picture. He's seeing everything that's going on. That's what we need to be doing, because the presence of God in your life is about your identity. Because I know I say it all the time, and I really say it for me, and I really mean that, is I know he will not leave me and he will not forsake me. He's always with me. That idea of, I just prayed about being hemmed in by him. He goes before me and he comes after me, right? He's my foundation. That helps me a lot. That helps me all the time to stay grounded and focused when things aren't going well, when life is happening, because God sees you, he knows you, and you are his, and you are supposed to be serving him. We do all those things. This presence of God really matters. But the other one is, and where I want to spend just a few minutes, is about the purpose of God. Now, what is the purpose of God in your life today? That's a huge question, right? That's like, what is your life plan? I don't want you to think about it as your life plan, not the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, right? I want you to think about this chapter in your life plan for right now. Because we have lots of chapters, and we go through different phases and different seasons. Being a dad of a child, right, at home and in school, is not so much anymore. It's about trying to figure out how to be a dad to an adult child. That would be an age only. How do we do that? How do you be a spouse when you're an empty nester, right? You get to learn to love each other again and to date and to spend time with each other. Life changes. So we're even in a different season, even though we've been in that season for a while, right? But I don't want you to think about your whole life. I want you to think about the season of your life right now. Because you would look at me and go, well, it's easy for you. You know what your calling is. I mean, you're called to be a preacher. Or if you look at Dallas, you're called to be a singer. Or if you're looking at Ashley, you're called to be a teacher. See, that's a very narrow view of who we're called to be. Because I'm not going to answer for them, but for me, I'm not called to be a preacher, right? A preacher is really, if I really was just a preacher, hallelujah, that would be so fantastic. Work just a couple of hours a week on Sunday morning like you all think I do anyway. And that would be easy, right? But I'm called to be a pastor. A godly pastor. I'm called to be in relationships. I'm called to be a godly husband, a godly dad, a godly neighbor, a Christ-centered boss, somebody that's, I'll just go down the line. You know what you're called to be. A neighbor, a friend, a relative, an uncle, a brother-in-law, a son-in-law. It just goes on and on and on, right? See, so what season are you in? Because Paul was in a different season in his life, right? He had been through several, and now he's in a different season. Think about those sailors that are on this boat right now. You know they're in a different season, right? They've just been going along to get along on this boat, and now suddenly their lives are at stake. They just got thrust into a new season of life. Where are you? And here's how you find out. It's just like Paul and the sailors and the prisoners that got off that boat and they got onto dry land. They said, where are we? Ask that question in your life today. Even if you think you have it all figured out, even if everything's going great for you right now, hallelujah, praise God, you still should ask, where am I? And then the next question is, where am I going? See, that's the presence of God. And that's the purpose of God in your life, is the presence is, Lord, lead me. The purpose is, where are we going? Where do you want me to go? And if I'm not going in the right direction, Lord, lead me in a different way. And how do you do that? You ingrain yourself in prayer, in scripture, and in fellowship. And I don't mean just fellowship as in fun and all that. I mean accountability fellowship. When you're struggling, you call me for advice, or you call another godly person, or somebody else that's in your Bible study, somebody that holds you accountable and say, here's where I'm at. What do I do, and how do I move forward? What is God's purpose for me in life right now? To walk by the Spirit. We said last week, part of the way that we get through those storms and to be on dry land is to walk by the Spirit. How are you doing right now on a scale of 1 to 10? You walking in the Spirit? Are you a 1 and barely recognizable? Are you 8, 9, or 10? Right? This is where the purpose gets revealed. Because I think all of us struggle with this, honestly. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? And I don't know what storms you might be facing, but I think sometimes we feel like that in the storm our purpose can be wiped out. Not true. Let me just tell you, nothing can wipe out the purposes of God for your life if you just stay focused on the purpose, right? If you just say, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep moving forward. God, you keep showing me and I'll keep following. The storm's going to be there, okay? I mean, it may be small and it may be great. The storm's going to be there, but to keep going, you need to focus on the purpose. Keep your eye on, because that's a great anchor of thanksgiving in your life, to be thankful for the purpose. And then the last one is this idea of the promise of God. And this is the one that I think we can, I don't believe this, I think society teaches us this, that we can give or take, right? We can take it or we can leave it. We're not really sure about the promises because we really haven't thought about them. We like the promises if we hear them or if somebody tells us, but we don't go looking for them. I just heard, shocking to hear these kinds of things to me, a Christian say, well, you know, I really don't, I'm closer to God when there's problems in my life, because when things are good, I really don't need him and I don't bother him as much. Boy, that's a bad way to think about God. That's a bad way to think about Jesus, because it's not about your need of him. It's about his desire for you. His desire for you, not his need of you, but him wanting you in his life, if we can say that he has a life, right? For him to want to be in relationship. See, these promises, Paul knew it in Acts 27, verse 25. He says, therefore, keep up your courage, For I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I said it last week. I'm going to read it to you exactly the way I said it last week. I said it this way. I said, it's critical to remember that when God makes a promise, it is going to happen. See, he's not the wishy-washy one. We are. The storms move us back and forth on the ocean. It doesn't move God. All those things that happen to us may move us off center, but it never moves God off center. His foundation is sure and certain. And if you don't know what he's promising you, how can you ever settle on it? How can you ever hold on to it? How can you ever stand on it? Right? Great hymn from, I don't even know, I bet it would be from the early 1900s, late 1800s, Standing on the Promises of God. And if you know this song, it's one of those tunes that gets in your head and you're going to be singing it for the rest of the day, right? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Father, standing. So sorry, that's all you're going to sing the rest of the day. I mean, it's just, but that's it. If we stand on the promises, we're not moved. We may get beat up. We may be storm and battle weary. We may be wet and we may be cold like Paul and all the rest of them were, but they were not moved because of God. They were saved, for lack of a better way to say that. See, we're saved. We're sure. We're certain in his life and in ours. It's the story of God and the story of us. His is the one that is going on forever and ever. Ours is the one that gets to join in with his. That's where the purposes and the promise and the presence of God, that's where it really matters for us. And that's where I just think you can be thankful. And that's really all I wanted to say is about why should we be thankful is because you have the presence of God, you have the purpose, and you have the promise. So simple. But yet we let all this other stuff just kind of wash over us and push us and beat us up, right? Anybody ever get caught in a wave on the beach and it kind of rolls you over and you kind of have to figure out where you are? Anybody ever get hit by a really big wave a little farther out on the beach and it rolls you over, and if you open your eyes underwater like I do, you see sand and you see the bottom, and then you see the sun, and then you see the sand, and then you see the bottom, and you see the sun and all the waves, and you kind of got to feel your way. See, what you don't need to do is panic in the midst of all that, right? Because if you'll just stay calm, which way are you going to float? You'll find your way back, because the way God has created us when we follow him is we'll always float back, right? He'll always give us upright. Our Christian nature, the power of the Holy Spirit, it will always get us upright. I heard it said one time, I don't like the analogy, but I get it. Having the Holy Spirit in our lives is like us being spiritual cats. Always going to land on your feet. I would say you might have a broken leg or two when you land, but you are always going to land on your feet. Always in Christ, if we keep following him. Because last week, I'm going to finish with this, your struggles have a purpose, right? No, let me rephrase that. There's purposes in the pieces of your struggle, right? Don't ever hear somebody say, well, God must be putting you through this so you can learn something. No. We've gone through this 100 times. It's not about the poor decisions that you made. It's about what you do with the pieces of your poor decisions. It's about the pieces of just life and the circumstances. And how do we teach our children this? It's huge. I've said it for weeks. Teach them this. Because, man, they will be so much better off in the future. They'll be way better off than I ever was, or maybe you ever were, is that we have this idea of this his presence and his purpose and his promise. Hang on to those. And when we hang on to them, then all of this, it just starts making sense. I know I'm pointing to a Christmas tree that was not ever, there was no Christmas tree in the manger. I hate to say something of that to y'all, but, you know, there just wasn't, okay? But it's our representation of the goodness of God and the birth of Christ and the newness of what he brings to us. See, when we start seeing it in that way, Thanksgiving's different, Christmas is different, Easter's different, birthdays are different, Monday's different, Tuesday's different, everything is different. everything. Let's teach ourselves what God wants us to know and allow the Holy Spirit to inform us of that. Because in the anchors of Thanksgiving, it's not about just the easy things in life, right? It's about everything in life. Father God, as we are here today, Lord, I don't know why, it's just so powerful in my mind, just all of the reminders of what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that you would just push that into all of our lives. Lord, and I know you're not pushing, but Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be pushy in the revelation of your goodness to us. Lord, that you would be pushy in your revelation to how you have provided for us. Lord, I pray that you'd pull back the veil of those areas of our lives where we need to see you and where you're working and where you're moving. Well, that's how we're going to grow. Lord, teach us before we make the mistakes. Lord, give us your direction before we set out on our own. Lord, teach us how to depend and rely upon you. Church, take just a second to just kind of play the reel of your life through your mind and allow God to show you those areas. There's going to be some bad spots in there. There's going to be some hurt in there. There's going to be some crashes, some shipwrecks. There's going to be laughter and joy and great, great, great moments. Two things for your week as you go. I just really encourage you. I know it's Thanksgiving and you may have done something like this at your house, but Lord just really impressing on me this weekend, and I thought it was just for me, maybe it's for all of us, to really express your thanks to the people around you, your kids, your spouse, just your family members, your friends, and to really say, if Robin were here today, just how thankful I am that God put her in my life and just how wonderful she is to me. Macy, just for being the daughter that she is, the blessing that she is. I don't know what you would say to somebody and how that goes, but just really express your thankfulness. And speaking of thankfulness, somebody dropped this key in the offering. If somebody's given me or Dallas a new house, I'm really thankful. But if you drop this and you want this back, somebody come get it from me, or I'm going to claim it for myself, all right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that we would go as a thankful people. Father, not just for thankfulness and material things, but, Lord, thankfulness for your Son, Jesus. Lord, in the blessings, and, Lord, in the life that he gives us eternally, and Father, and how that moves into our life here on earth. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.